about Mashiach, they talk always about the raisins. We'll have a country, we'll have our own, we'll have security, we'll be safe. It's fine. Those are byproducts of the era. But those are the reasons. The era. And as such, I can understand why this is a basic, a fundamental belief. That Hashem will turn the world to be good. Still have any objections? Huh?
Can I ask a question? I heard from a Lubavitch, a person Lubavitch, that if the Lubavitch already does not have a son,
yeah,
then the Mashiach will come.
If the Rebbe will not have a son, Mashiach will come. I think that is exactly what we learned here in Rambam, that we cannot figure out all those things.
But so, I mean, how can the Lubavitch actually
think
of the Rebbe in such high esteem to compare his son to that it's going to depend on him to be whether the Mashiach is going to come or not?
Yeah. So, when Mashiach will come or not? What did they say? Again, repeat to me. I didn't understand.
I mean,
they say if you won't have a son, Mashiach wouldn't come.
Mashiach will come.
And if you will not have a son?
If you will not have a son, then the Mashiach won't come.
And if you'll have a son?
Then the Mashiach won't come.
Maybe he'll come.
Won't come now.
Oh, it has to be a Lubavitcher.
Yeah, I'll tell you. This I don't understand. Not, whatever it is not one of the 13 principles of it.
The Lubavitch added one.
Huh?
No,
not the psalm.
It's
just one person,
and you
can only five people.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you.
Not standard position of
Horowitz. Yes. What did he say?
Around
everywhere saying that
you're
the Shia.
No.
So what did the Rebbe say?
What do you say to this? And the Rebbe said, I'm very against it. He said, I certainly don't say I'm the Shia. I wish they'd stop it. He said, it's certainly not one of the things that I've told them to believe. And they believe that.
I heard that he made an official announcement saying, I'm not Mashiach. Something like this. Yeah. Huh? That he spoke to the Hasidim. Yeah.
They didn't believe him. They just didn't think
on him. I'll tell you. I can have my choice whether I believe in the Lubavitcher Rebbe or I don't believe. But to believe in his Hasidim, I'm a fool. He's a great man, there is no question about it. But there's nothing to do with Mashiach. I'll tell you something. I'll tell you a story. One day, I came to a Sheva Brochus. And Lubavitch Sheva Brochus in California. And there was a conservative rabbi over there. All right. He says to me, what are you doing with the Lubavitch? You are a little shahid, what are you doing with the Lubavitch? So I told him, it says in Chumash, in Parsha Boy, coming out from Egypt, it says, Be'etzem ayyum azeh yotetzi v'zashem eret v'zroyim. This very day, the armies of Hashem have left the land of Egypt. So in that pasuk, I have already identification. What are we? We are with the armies, an army of Hashem. Now, an army has all kinds of formations. There could be a navy, there could be marines, there could be air force, with tankies, with the parachute troops, and everything. So each and every one belongs to his formation, stays with his formation. But he appreciates the other person also being a part of formation that belongs to the same army. And that's the answer. Then the conservative says to me, what are we, the conservative? I said, you are the deserters of the army.
Oh boy. Didn't like that too much, I guess.
Can I help? He asked for it, so I told him. So, but there is no question about it, that the Babbage is great, and they are doing all over the world. There is no, I haven't seen any organization, and it's the Rebbe, because he's a great organizer, he's a great executive. In no corner in the world where you don't have the Babbage doing something, and doing something good. So, I can criticize them. The Chassidim are fools, they believe in Mashiach, but such a fool I am not to believe in the Chassidim for that. Yeah.
Rabbi, can you explain how some groups in the morning when they get up, some groups pray immediately, and other groups they study, then they eat, and then they pray? Is that a different interpretation or just a custom? Or?
I don't know. There are certain Chassidim who do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. To eat before, I definitely don't know what they do. To learn the way it happens to us too. I was down in with Avni Yeshiva at 7:30. By 6:30, people are already learning, so there's nothing wrong.
But to eat is not appropriate?
To eat a meal now.
Oh,
really? Yeah. And so I think it says to drink. To drink at tea or something,
that should be
all right.
Without sugar,
some say without sugar, even with sugar, it's not all right. All right, anything else?
How do you view the modern movement of getting the modern movement of Zionism, getting back the man of Israel? In relation to the Mashiach getting back the land of Israel, is it something totally separate, or do you see it as one big whole, or something part of the movement?
I don't know.
You mean the plan of God?
No, I'm saying because it was done by non-religious entities, non-religious people basically got us back the land of Israel. Is it feasible that is actually part of the coming of Mashiach or part of the plan? There's something totally independent of it.
The Ramban says that everything which happens to the Jewish people and even to Jewish individuals says is everything by providence, it's everything with a plan leading up somewhere. But he says, you will never know it before the entire chain has where it was leading up. We know it happened, it's leading up someplace. But where it's leading up, we don't know.
So how should we view those people, those irreligious people who sort of, do we view them as Gedolim and Tzadikim, or do we view them as, well, how do we see the whole thing? If we're not sure if it's part of the plan.
To look at the people or to look at what they are doing. There's two different things. To look at the people, again, let me read to you what the Rambam says. That That's in Hilchos Mamrim, third chapter. Mamrim is rebels. The one who does not believe in the oral law being of divine origin is included among the Apikorsim. And the censor has been playing around here in that chapter, so that print is missing. And he says, well, let's read it, it says, after it becomes clear that he denies in the divine origin of the oral law, he is like any other apikorsim non-believers, and like those who deny the entire Torah, all of them are not part of the nation. All of them are excommunicated. Then he says, this is only by talking about people who, of their own ideas, have denied the origin of the oral law. He followed conscience and the look out of his heart, and he says in his originally denying this.
Not following somebody else.
Yeah. But their children and their grandchildren, whose parents have misled them. They were born among the Karaites. He's talking about the non-believers in oral law. And they raised them. They should be looked on as children who have been kidnapped by them. He is an onus. He's innocent. And even later, he heard that he's a Jew. And he saw the Jews and their way of life. And he does not join it. He is still innocent. Because that's the way he was raised. Therefore, the Rambam says, it's recommendable to bring them back with tshuva, to attract them with peaceful words, until they will come back to full strength of Torah. That's what the Rambam says. So here we have that the Rambam makes a distinction between people who are misled or people who are misleading. There's a difference. People who are misled, there is nothing to criticize them. There is nothing to blame them. People who are misleading, that's different. We have to watch ourselves. It shouldn't hurt us. This is talking about the people. Now, if you're talking about the national accomplishments, there is a Gemara in the beginning of Avodah Zarah that Osir Lover, the world to come. The non-Jews will come and they will claim credit. They will say they built roads. And they built the roads, they say, for the sake that the Jews who are learning Torah should be able to use good roads. And they want credit for it. Also, they'll say the same. They did it all, the aqueduct, for the Jewish Yaskubatel. So Hashem will say, you did it for yourself. Now the question is, what's the meaning? What's the meaning? They will say, who built the Truvay? You know the Truvay in New York? Huh? Yeah. I think Governor Dewey built it. So Dewey will come to Robinson and says, Robinson, I built the Truvay.
The highway.
And yeah, and I built it that people, Yeshiva Bochim, shall be able to drive from Pelz, from Cleveland, Pelz Yeshiva in Cleveland, to the Yeshiva in Philadelphia, to the Yeshiva in Lakewood. There are all the Truvays over there. Doesn't make sense. Is this why Dewey did it? The answer is, I think that the Briskerov explains. The answer is, the Rambam says, in one place, he says that many things that are being done, Providence figures them for different purposes in people. The Rambam says it could be that the king has planted a garden. 200 years later, a big Talmud Chacham, Tzaddik, was walking. He was very tired. And he rested under a tree. He says, this was the justification for the 200 years ago. So, Dewey will come and say, Rebbeinu, I, idiot, was building a Truvay in order to get federal funds for the state, in order to win elections. You, Rebbeinu, you know, the whole thing was worth only because of you working on arriving there. So I want credit. So Rabbeinu says, yes, it's true. It was nothing. That it was one just for the Yeshiva Bochim. But that wasn't your plan. Don't ask for credit. The Briskerov is a thing, what he said. He said, now we know people are doing, and the Rabbeinu also is doing, he's using them. I'll tell you, there is a very interesting in the Haftarah of the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The Haftarah of the second day of Rosh Hashanah is in Yirmiyahu, written in Yirmiyahu. You know that Yirmiyahu was the prophet of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But there are certain chapters where there's so much love to the Jewish people that you don't find in other land, proving God's love. And that's one of the chapters. And over there it tells about Rochel, who is going to cry for her children. By the way, it's in this. Did you learn it? Are you yes. Learning the person of the week?
Yaakov says to Yosef,
right,
don't worry
right,
because
right.
She'll be
yeah, that's
praying for the Jews but never
right, and that's why he buried her. Yeah, you learn it. That's in the portion of this week. When Yaakov says to Joseph that Rochel was buried here, not far from Jerusalem, you know what Kibbe Rochel is. And he said he did it because in order she should pray later for her children. And in Yom Yo it says that Rochel is praying. And the prophet says to her, Stop crying. There is a reward to your action. You will come back from the land of the enemy. And there is a hope for your future. Children will come back to their families. So there are two promises. One promise is they will come back from the land of the enemy. The second promise is children will come to the Rabban. What are the two promises? We saw it in our lifetime, we saw what it means. So take a look in the Haftarah, in the second day of Rosh Hashanah, you'll find it, that he gives us two promises. He says, again, let me repeat, there is a reward to your action. They will return from the lands of the enemy. There is a hope to your future. Someone will come back to their land. Madam is.
So one is it they will come from their land, and the other one they will be in
yeah,
their garden.
Yeah. Let me explain. Madam Israel is built. A building in the next 60 or 70 years, the last 60 years. It's built. A country was built with roads, with factories, with buildings. It was a desert. But the people who built it were people who not necessarily had to come to Israel. They were happy to go to Uganda too, if you know the history. As long as they find some territory where they can build up their independence and not be among their enemies, they were happy. So there have been people who did not come because they needed the boundaries of the land. People who came, the motivation was away from the land of the enemy. They built up the country. But Rosso said there is no future. Those people, their idealism will fade, and they really have no, there is no incentive to be in Eretz Yisrael for the one who does not have Eretz Yisrael. No incentive to stay here. He can sit in America or in Europe and be much better off. So where's the future? They will leave the country. So he says, the prophet says, don't worry. They may leave, but other people will come who need the boundaries of the land. And now we try to, we have some kind of a picture of, you know, when in construction, when they change crews. Yeah, in construction, yeah, the crews are being changed. Before before the plumbers came, now the plumbers leave, the carpenters are coming.
Yeah.
Now, then the finishers are coming. We have a feeling what's happening in Eretz Yisrael, that there is a certain kind of change of crew happening right now, because we have so many people living the country. And we have so many people, Netiri, coming and being stubborn to stay in that country in spite of all kinds of difficulties. So, and I see it in that prophecy of Yirmiyahu, where it says there are two periods. There will be a period of people who come only because they go away from the enemy. And people who are coming to find a boundary. Yes.
Just to back to what you said, I heard that 40% of all Muslim children are leaving Israel, and 85% of the people making Aliyah are religious Jews. So, I mean,
right now, definitely. Doesn't make any sense. Anyone who is not religious to come to Israel to make Aliyah his head is to be examined. what does he have here? A hole in the pocket? You know what the hole in the pocket means?
Yeah, you get shot.
Huh? You know when you put in a let's say you have in your pocket, you have 1,000 scholars. Next morning. It's yeah. What evaluated. Was worth you. It's devaluated, right?
Yeah.
So it's a hole. It runs out from your pocket. You go around with holes in your pockets here.
It makes a hole in your
pocket. So why should people come to Eretz Yisrael? Religious people, I understand. For Torah, I understand. I have so many young people who came to learn in Eretz Yisrael, and now they are stubborn, they wouldn't leave. They are staying here, they want to stay here. That's a different story. So this is normal. I don't know about the kibbutzim, I'm not familiar with it, but about Aliyah, you have to be, I don't know, anyone who is not a religious Jew, and he comes on Aliyah, either he's a crook, and he thinks it could be. He may be a banker. It might be something wrong with him. What time do I have? Somebody suggested to learn Gemara a little tonight.
Gemara?
Rav Sam is suggesting. What Gemara are you learning? Where are you?
Rav Rova and Rav Yosef are arguing about the value of something that's like money.
Yeah. That's further. Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
Patrick Sam.
That was on.
I don't know what we can. I'll tell you, I don't think we can learn, but if you have a question in Gemara, we can discuss it. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. If somebody has a question in Gemara, we can discuss it.
Next time you come up with your question.
Huh?
I'll think of a question for next time.
Right? All right. Do you have anything you want to know in Gemara?
Last question at once.
Let's first Gemara. Not tomorrow, but tomorrow. Somebody will take the Gemara thing. Yeah.
I just learned tonight very quickly that the man can ask a woman to marry him based on the fact that the woman understands that she's only getting half the math, that he's going to divide his time with another woman.
Yeah, I know a man's guy.
What should be wrong with that?
I'll tell you, that's very interesting. I learned the Gemara so many times, and I didn't realize the picture as you are giving. Because, no, really, because the way I learned it, it's a legal question. It's a legal question, can you, but you are right to be a wife to half of me. That's exactly what the Gemara says. Huh?
Because it's part time?
Huh?
Considered half of you because it's part time? Mm-hmm. Because you're only there half the day? What would?
I always understood it as just as a legal term. A legal term.
You're only marrying half of me.
Can you explain how you learned perhaps?
Huh?
Perhaps you can explain how you learned it. You said you learned it in terms of a legal term?
Yeah, of a legal term. Kiddushin is a legal procedure. The Gemara says at the beginning, that Kiddushin, right? Kiddushin is the Rabbanan expression. Do you remember?
Yeah, huh? I think that's
fine. Yes, Kiddushin is the Rabbanan expression.
Yeah.
And you should become, you should become forbidden to anybody else like Hekdesh.
Yeah.
Huh? Like, how do you say, how do you translate Hekdesh? So, what I understand in that Gemara is this. That you don't buy wives. She is not your slave. Therefore, although it goes through a legal transaction, Kiddushin is a legal transaction. You know what a legal transaction is? A legal transaction is the transfer of an object from one area to another. Is that clear what I say?
All right.
And Kiddushin is exactly the same procedure as buying property. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says we learned it from purchasing a field. Because they have point. Because it's exactly the same procedure as transfer of property. Now the question is, what's being transferred? She is not becoming my slave. She remains the same free person as she was before the Kiddushin, as she is after the Kiddushin. There is no legal...
A wife is now obligated to fulfill her husband's commands.
She's obligated to
fulfill her husband's wishes or commands or something like that.
Now that's part of the relation of husband and wife.
So,
but husband and wife doesn't mean that she is being sold to him. She is not being sold. So, really, what is that transaction? The transaction is the being a wife. As being a wife, you are mine, nobody else's. That's the transaction. Nobody else's. Because you are forbidden to anybody else. Now, things which are forbidden to us could be of either one of two natures. I shouldn't eat, for example, certain animals, which we are not supposed to eat the food. We can't eat horse meat, for example. Camel meat, for example. The Torah calls it tummy. The Torah calls it unclean. So there is something that we don't know what it is, but there is something unclean about non-kosher food. And the Torah doesn't want us to touch something which is not clean, right? Now there are things which belong to the Beis HaMikdash. And I'm not supposed to touch them. I'm not supposed to benefit from them. Is it because they are unclean or because they are sacred? Sacred. So the unclean are below me. The sacred are above me. Right? So that's what the Chachomim said. They said that being a wife, and she is forbidden to others because of being above, not of being below. You followed this?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
So, the Osalu Akola Alme Kehegdesh. But this is the transaction. The transaction
is.
Not camel meat. Right. So, this is the transaction. Because of me, You cannot belong to anybody else. So he says, because of the half of me, you can't belong to anybody else.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean that I'm going to marry another wife. Because he can have another wife anyway.
Why did you use the word half then?
Huh?
You say the woman is holier. The woman is above him, right?
Right.
And yet he only offers half of himself to her.
What does that mean in real terms?
I think what the Gemara is doing here, the Gemara is just illustrating something. The Gemara wants to say that if it says Chotzi Isho is not good, so to show the contrast of it, the Gemara says Lachetzi. Because it doesn't make sense. But to say I marry a half of you,
it
definitely doesn't work. That's chetzich mekudeshesli. So to illustrate it, it says it's only for chetzich. If you would be crazy enough to say it this way, it would work. But it doesn't mean that you say I'm giving you only one half because the other half I want to give another one. And David and Melech had 18 wives.
Solomon had 1,000.
Huh?
Solomon had 1,000.
He has more than
Shlomo. Melech has 1,000.
Has 1,000, yeah. So not everyone can be King Solomon. Yeah. But David and Melech had 18.
What does that illustrate?
Pardon?
What does that illustrate? You said it is the...
No, it just puts to say if it says chetzich mekudeshesli, it says I want to be mekadesh one half of you.
Yeah.
This definitely cannot work.
Yeah, why not?
And the Gemara explains why not. So in order to illustrate the chetzich, it says this is only if half of chetzich would work, but it doesn't mean it. All right, I have another question. We have time.
We saw a Rashi, I think, in Dawud.
Yeah, what does Rashi say?
It says that Yotachinam Ein Kesef Visitichu, that you would think that Nasnahi V'Amrahi works. You would think that a sheep. Tosfos was asked on that it's impossible to say that she could give and she could say that it would work because that would be Kitzika. So I want to know what how Rashi wanted to have Rashi say that. Dalit on the basis.
Hey,
Dalit. Hecha is good. It's Tosfos Hecha.
As Raja said, repeat what Raja said. Did you learn this?
Yeah, I mean, it's Dalai.
We learned it.
I didn't want to give the answer. I just not to ask the question because the Tosfos was asked on Rashi. Rashi says that the possibility of which. If she goes out free without any money. So the Gemara is learning what it teaches you. And the Gemara says it teaches you that if she gave, she gave us, she says the word, she said the word is bad words that you might think will be good, the worst thing to do that is not good. So Sosko says it's impossible to teach me that, but nobody would think that, because definitely if she gives no good, because it would definitely be, definitely be hurt. You know, the most basic concept of him doing it, of her doing it, is giving. Giving is really vital. If she's doing the giving, then not even a halal meaning of it, it's possible to
be. If there's a case of which she gives it, you see that it's good.
She doesn't sound good,
no,
so it's not good either.
But the Adam Pasha would work.
Depends on
the Samarshan, whatever. So what's the Gemara's question?
We're discussing how we'll be worn out from that closet.
Kesha. Where from do we not kesha?
I just want to know, because
in relation
to another
Gemara,
I don't really know the
whole. Yeah. Yeah, so what does the Gemara say? Gemara says, one learns it from Kiyikach, one learns it from the Yotzachin and Ein Kasef.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Okay.
The Yotzachin and Ein Kasef is talking about what? It's talking about the father. It's a minor daughter. She's a minor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the father makes the Kiddushin.
Yeah.
Huh? So I say, Ein Kasef Lord Nzeh, aber Yesh Kasef Lord Nachir. The father is getting cash.
Yeah. Okay.
And from Kiyikach, the learn also that he is taking cash. So, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says if it puts it, the Yotzachinim, I would know that Kiddushin is the Kesef, but I wouldn't know who is making the Kiddushin. He or she.
Yeah.
He said, Kiyika, that is making the Kiddush. That's what Rashi is saying. Huh?
Right. That's what
that comes out. That's what the Rashi says. It says, since Kiyika comes to tell me that he is doing the action, not she.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
So this is asking, why do we need... Why do we have to learn from Zdeyefra? They just said to us, Zdeyefra will learn that it should be Kesef and not Bia.
That was Hecha.
Or that case was.
Yeah.
What kind of that case was? Jesus is asking on Rashi and the language. Rashi says that she gave him, and she said, Hareyato Mekudoshli.
Yeah.
So Jesus says, the husband is not Mekudosh, she is Mekudosh.
Right.
Because Mekudosh means that you are forbidden to everybody else because of me.
Right.
The husband doesn't become forbidden.
But Rashi says he does.
That Rashi says he said, is Kaddishli become Mekudosh to me.
Right.
So Teshu says, that's not the language, because the husband is not Shech Mekudosh.
How can Rashi say
that? Huh?
I wonder, how can Rashi say that?
Yeah, that's...
That's such a good point. How is Rashi...
Oh, you mean, what does Rashi answer? Huh?
Yeah.
Rashi say, Mekudosh is... says Hare Atom Kudishli. The relation of Kiddushin should be between us. Maybe that's what Rashi means. She means it, but this one says it's not exactly.
It doesn't matter if she said the right words or not, it's the idea, general idea.
Yeah. Alright, anything else? All right, I'll go into this match. Thank you.
Thank you.